Yutes Elul, Thursday the 6th of September, Rabbi Yosef Perlman, chapter and verse, part 4.
These are from last time. These are still from last time. Okay. Shalom Aleichem, gentlemen. We are continuing with the story of the letters, the words, and with the psukim, and so far we've actually dealt the first time with the parshias, the second time we dealt with letters, third time with the words, and we just started on the psukim. However, in order to make it relevant to this week and to Rosh Hashanah, I just want to go back over one little point on the letters, and that was that every letter has a significance, even when it's not there. And of course you all know that in this week's Sedra, Parshas Bikurim, there's a letter which is omitted from the whole of the Parsha of Bikurim and the Parsha of Maasos. That is the letter Samach. The Baal HaTurim points this out, and he says that the reason that the letter Samach has been omitted is to give us the remez that the shiur for Bikurim is 1/60. So we leave out the letter Samach, and therefore we know that from the Bikurim, from the fruit you get, you lose a 60th because the Samach has gone away, and that's how we know that the shiur midrabbonon for Bikurim is achas mi shishim. That's what he says. I always thought that there's another explanation, and I eventually found that other explanation in the Sefer Paner Rozo. And he says, as we know, every letter has its own significance. We discussed that in the first time. And the relevance of the letter Samach is that it represents the Soton and the Sitra Achara. That's the point of the letter Samach. And it also occurred to me that presumably the absence of the letter Samach in the Parsha of Bikurim can only be in order to teach us that the Soton somehow or other has been driven away from this Parsha. And it fits in beautifully because we know that Amalek is at the end of Kisetse. Amalek represents what's called in Hebrew Anochius, and in English it's called egotism and selfishness. And the Parsha of Bikurim is the tikkun to the Amalek. Because after having had 3 years of Orlo and a year of Netaravai, and by the time you're finished, you really want to get your food. You've been producing food for nearly 4 years, and you're desperate to have it. Yeah, and yet, when you get the first opportunity to have it, you've got to give it away to the Kohen. That shows that you're not selfish. It shows that you understand the appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of HaKoros HaTov, and that's the tikkun for Amalek. And therefore the letter Samach got left out. That's, as I say, a nice explanation to show that how the letters, even when they're not there, come to teach us a message. Now, as I said, it's going to be relevant to this week's Seder. It's also relevant to Slichus. Believe it or not, the first pismon that we will be saying in Slichus is B'motzoi Menucha. In Motzoi Menucha, many of the Slichus follow the Aleph Beis. Many Slichus follow the name of the Mechaber, like the Kalir. But many Slichus follow the order of the Aleph Beis. And if you look at B'motzoi Menucha, you will find every single letter of the Aleph Beis, with the exception of the Samach. Now, why should the Samach have been left out from the Slicha? It's not completely left out, because it starts off as follows. S, which is an Aleph, Bet Tzedek, which is a Beis, Gimel is Genon, is a Gimel, Derosh is a Dalet, Hidorosh is a Hay, etc., etc., until you come to Mem, Morim im Otzmu Pishei Kolecho, No Sagve mi Otza Amuchan Bizulecho, Eidecho Lochon Chinon Boim Elecho. So you've got the Mem, the Nun, and the Ayin. Where did the Samach go? Answer, because if we're saying Slichus as we should, we are removing the Soton. That's what Slichus is all about. You get up an hour, half an hour earlier this week, you're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, the sin and the Samach are interchangeable. That you will find throughout the Paitonim often use the sin and, for a Samach where they haven't got one. Very, very often in the Seder of the Aleph Beis, you'll find a sin missing instead of a Samach. They are interchangeable letters for that in that in that context. Good point. But however, what you do see is that Merkaba here has the python here hasn't forgotten the Samach, because look, no sagvein. He says, don't think I've forgotten the Samach. The Samach is not going to just open a phrase like all the others. But don't think I've forgotten it. It's there, no sagvein. And it's a very unusual expression to use, no sagvein. But whereas all the other letters follow parsha by parsha, or phrase by phrase, this one is omitted completely. But in the next word, you've got the Samach. I heard that from Rabbi Oshansky from Gates, so to say, Adon B'Shem Omron. Now, as we're just mentioning the Samach only occurs at the beginning of two psukim in Chumash. In the whole of Chumash, you'll find only two psukim starting with the letter Samach, Slach, and Soru. And those two Samachs, one is in connection with the Egel in Parshas Kisiso, and the second one is in connection with Meraglim in Parshas Shlach Lecho. The only two places in the whole of Chumash where you have a posuk starting with the letter Samach is a place where things went badly wrong. The Ego and the Meragim. And if you would like to go further in what represents the Meraglim, of course, it's the Kinnas on Tisha B'Av. What's the first letter of the Piyut on Tisha B'Av? Guess, it's a Samach. So whereas the Samach disappears during Slichas, because we're getting rid of the Sodom, during Kinnas, where we're having the problem, the Samach is there. Now, this is not just happenstance. This is carefully conducted by the Torah and by Chazal, and it shows you the significance of each individual letter. Beg your pardon? I can't hear.
Why do we call it Slichas?
Good question, because Slach, yes, it's a good question, but Slichas, the idea is it's the antidote to the kapara. Often you have equal and opposite. You can have, sometimes it's the answer lies in the you have words which have equal and opposite meanings. Moving on from letters, let's move on now to words. Remember, we discussed that each word is made up of letters, and you'll find that there is a root in every, and we have. We mentioned the argument between Rashi and the French school, and the Ibn Ezra and the Spanish school, whereas according to the Spanish school, there have to be three root letters in every word. Whereas Rashi says, no, you can have a one-letter root or a two-letter root. That's also acceptable. It's therefore it really Lemaisa, we said there's not much difference in it, but the concept is that according to the Spanish grammarians, you have to have a three-letter root, and we said that each of these letters of the root has a significance. But there's two letters which are the ikka, and the third letter changes slightly the meaning. I'd like to explain this in connection with Rosh Hashanah and the shofar. The Shin Pei root has a significance like other roots. We discussed, I think, last time, the Beis Reish root and the Pei Reish root. Beis Reish means to create, something comes out. But Pei Reish means it comes out and bursts forth. I think I remember saying to somebody sitting in front of me, if I say B to you, it doesn't matter. If I say P, you might have to take a handkerchief and wipe your face, because I've said, you know, I've said much more. So the Pei is much more forceful than the Beis. And that's why Boro means just to bring out and create, but Purim is to burst forth, like a flower is a perach, and a pere is a wild animal, and a pur is a bull. So you see all the different roots slightly different. Now, it's the same thing with the Shin Beis and the Shin Pei root. The Shin Beis root, teshuvah, means to come back. Yoshav means to sit in one space. Shovah means to capture. So the shefa means to be satisfied and have everything that you want. So the Shin Beis basically means confinement. Coming back. Shuvah v'nachas, peaceful. Shov, sit in your place, don't run it. Teshuvah, come back to where you belong. So the Shin Beis root teaches us to be confined. But what you'd expect is if you have the Beis transformed into a Pei, you're going to accentuate that. So Shov is just to confine. Shof means to force into confinement. Now, where do you find the Shin Pei root? One of the beautiful examples is the Shivcho. A shivcho is a maidservant who's completely under the control of her gewählt, under her gewählt. In fact, one of Sammy Luftig asked me a few weeks ago why we in Tehillim it says ke'ene avodim. How's the passage going in the Shema Aleph? Why the avodim is in the plural? And at the time I looked through all the Mefarshim and I couldn't find an answer. Nobody talks about it. Why the avodim are in the plural, but the shivcho and the gevurta is in the singular. But then it occurred to me, because avodim are subservient to the master, but far less so than a shivcho, who's completely under the domination of her mistress. If you think about it, a girl under the control of her mistress is far more under her mistress's control than avodim. So the posse talks about avodim in the plural generally, but when it wants to show more so, even greater subjugation, it uses the word shivcho in the singular be'ayabayad gevurta. But the answer is because shivcho is loshen shof, which is an expression of complete domination. Whereas shov just means confinement, shof means complete. Now, that's why it's called the shofar. Because the purpose of the shofar is to make sure that we completely subjugate ourselves and to the domination of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because we say, Ari Shog Mi Lo Yiro, when you hear the shofar Yitzita, it's like becoming completely under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control. That's what the shofar teaches us. So we see from those letters how we get that particular combination to make it completely under the subjugation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The root letters, therefore, teaches us this particular thing. Now, I can prove, by the way, just in a shiur which I had yesterday, very interesting, a machlokus between Rashi and Ibn Ezra on one word in Tanakh, which actually encapsulates what I just told you. We say, it says, where's the word lo sonut? In Hashem Moloch, Yirguzu Amim, Yoshev Kruvim, Tonut Ha'oretz. Tonut Ha'oretz. Now, Tonut Ha'oretz, says the Ibn Ezra, Ein Lo Rea, Ein Lo Chava, which in English it means it's a Hapax Legomenon. Those of you who understand English properly will know what a Hapax Legomenon is. It's a Greek expression which means something which only occurs once in the whole of the context of wherever it might be. Hapax Legomenon. But the Ibn Ezra always translates that as Ein Lo Chava. It Hotnish Kin Chava. It's on its own. Azoizot the Ibn Ezra Legabi Tonut. You will not find this word anywhere else in Tanakh. The word Tonut. Comes along Rashi. Says, yeah, of course we find it in Tanakh. Not Toyu. Not Toyu. It means to bend, to lean down. There are lots of other explanations to it, but it's interesting to say Rashi says the word means not for notta to lean, to bend, to totter over. So what's the machlokus about? It's the same machlokus. According to the Ibn Ezra, you've got to have a three-letter root. There's no root nun vav tes in the whole of Tanakh. Nut does not occur. And that root of tonut is the same as tokum, toshuv, which is a nun vav tes root. There's no ein lo rea. Oh, but Rashi doesn't hold of the three-letter root. Rashi holds you can have a one-letter or a two-letter root. So if you take the root, which is nun tes, you've got nun tes hey, noto. Noto means to bend. Everybody knows what a matter or noto means. It means to bend over. So Rashi says, not worried about the fact that there's no root nut. Because as long as there's a root not, I mean nun tes hey, it's the same root, says Rashi. So you see that Rashi and Ibn Ezra go l'shitosom in that particular case. Right, let's go from now words, let's move on to Pesukim. And if I remember rightly, when we finished last time, we told you the story of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld and the longest Pesuk. I don't know who remembers, but it's there about how he used the fact that this was the longest pasuk to prove that the 34 rabbonim who came along were likely to create an avodah zarah because he felt that the chief rabbinate in the Eretz Yisrael needed a better preparation than it was being offered at the time. Now, here we come to a famous chidah. A quiz question. It's a beautiful question. It goes like this. Where do you find a posuk in Chumash which is longer than the longest posuk but at the same time shorter than the longest posuk, twice. I repeat the question. Where do you find a posuk which is longer than the longest posuk, but at the same time shorter than the longest posuk, twice? Now, it sounds like gibberish, doesn't it? But you've got the answer. The answer is that there's two types of length. There's a length regarding letters. Yes, that's right. And they're again regarding words. The longest posuk in words is the posuk in Kisiso, which has 34 words, where Moshe was boshesh tchiloredes min hahor. That's the one I've mentioned to you before. There is a longer posuk in letters in Parshas Re'eh, which is talking about the Novi Sheker. There are 127 letters. So those are the two longest psukim in Chumash. And the reason why I mention this is very significant, because everything about words and letters has a deeper significance, and so have psukim. The longest posuk in each case is teaching us, as Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonneville said, too much talking can lead to a terrible disaster. A person should always teach his Talmud, but Kitzur, you always do be mekatz as much as possible, unless the Talmud is a thick hour, in which case you've got to explain it in great length and make sure he understands it. But if you've got a sharp Talmud, you teach him in the shortest possible way. There's a famous Gemara in Psochim, in Loshen Maguna, in Loshen Kotz, so the whole sugya there as to how to do it. But what happens if you go on for too long? As you all know, people get bored and fed up, and it ends up with Avodah Zorah. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu, the longest posuk in words, ended up with the Egel, and the longest posuk in letters ends up with the Novi Asheket. Right, but what about the quiz question? The interesting thing is this, there is a posuk in, where's the posuk? In Vo'ero, which has more letters in it than the longest posuk in words, and more words than the longest posuk in letters. So it's the second longest in both situations. It's the posuk which leads to the Makkah of Dam. The first posuk talking about Dam has more letters in it than the posuk in Kisiso, because Kisiso has 34 words and approximately 117 letters. I'd say approximately, I think it's 117 letters. Whereas the posuk in Vo'ero has 122 letters. And if you take the posuk in Vo'eschanan, which we said, the posuk in Re'eh, which has 127 letters, that's only got 32 words. Whereas the posuk in Vo'ero has got 33 words. So it's second in words and second in letters to different psukim. So the quiz question is actually a very clever question. Now the question arises, but what's the significance of the posuk? And the answer again is, like the question you asked before, you have something which, samach is a kitruk. Samach is terrible. And yet we call it slichus. Because very often the tikkun comes from understanding what's being wrong. Now it's the same thing here. In the case of the Makkah's Dam, what was happening? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Klal Yisrael and the whole world that the gods of Egypt are worthless. And it was the Makkah, the Dam actually was the Makkah against the God of Egypt. The Dam represents the Mayim, the water. And the water was being hit first. And all the Mephoshim explain that in the Esa Makkah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started off, not with the Egyptians themselves, but with their God. And he destroyed it. So what we're seeing here is if you use length properly in the correct manner, that will be the answer to the problem. Yes, if you stand go on schmoozing for too long, then of course you'll end up with an egel. But if on the other hand you use your Torah time properly and every word is properly used, then you get the answer to the problem. And I believe that's pshat in the posuk in Vo'ero. Maybe yes, maybe not. But what we're seeing is that the psukim, their length teaches things. I think we also last time did very briefly the shortest posuk. It has also a significance. The shortest posuk is, do you remember? Which one? No, the shortest posuk. Uvnei don chushim. Now, you're right, we say them all on Motzei Shabbos, and many people say there are about 14 such psukim, but the shortest, the only one with less than 11 letters, the only one she's got 10 letters, and the whole of Chumash is of Neidon Chushim. And that was also to teach us the significance of potential. Don was the smallest of the tribes. He only had one child. Therefore, according to statistics, if you have one child, everybody else has two, you start off with a 100% deficiency. And yet, we know that Don became the second largest tribe, having actually only had one child to start off with. And we find that Don is the smallest of the words. No name of any of the Shvatim has a smaller name. God is wider than Don, so Don is the smallest, and yet on the Choshen Mishpat, Don had more space than anybody. He had more space than anybody, because he had to have two gaps, and therefore he had eight letters, whereas the others only had six or seven. And he's the only one who had eight spaces. So you see that Don is potential. Anyhow, that's a whole sugya on its own, as to how Don started off as being a Nochosh and ended up as being a Gur Aryeh. Moshe Rabbeinu calls him Don Gur Aryeh, whereas Yaakovinu called him Nochosh Alederach Shifon Ale Erech. And yet Yehuda is also called Gur Aryeh, but Yehuda is Gur Aryeh Yehuda, and Don is Don Gur Aryeh. Why has it changed? Answer, because Yehuda started off with power. Yehuda was already born as a big melech. He was already a Gur Aryeh at birth, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. But Don didn't start off. Don was a Shifon at the beginning. He was a Nochosh, but he became afterwards. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't call him Gur Aryeh Don, he calls him Don, you became afterwards a Gur Aryeh. But all that is inherent in the Pasuk itself, because the Pasuk is the shortest Pasuk in the whole of Chumash. And there's a reason for that. Reason to teach us that from small beginnings you can have tremendous potential afterwards. Now, the Psukim have all sorts of significance, and we have the rule that called posit lo poske Moshe anan lo paskinon is a special rule that we cannot make our own psukim up. And this actually again is relevant to the Asesime Teshuva. There are those people who say Ose Hasholom Bimromov. Most of us do say Ose Hasholom Bimromov. Many people object strongly to that. Do you know why? Because it's a posuk in Iyov. And the Pasuk in Iyov says, Ose Shalom Bimromov. And therefore, who are we to change a Pasuk in Tanakh? How can you do it? However, because we can insert, although you're not allowed to use a Pasuk in the wrong way, nonetheless, there are circumstances where the Gemara sometimes quotes a Pasuk in a different way. So, if there's a really good reason, there's a need for it, some are matir. And the reason, you know why Ishmael would say Hashalom rather than Ose Shalom? Because it's a gematria. Hashalom is 381, and 381 is the same gematria as the Malach Safriel, who's 381. He's the one who's writing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's books during the Avgad. You can't expect the Melech Malchei Melech not to have a secretary. Remember, the Melech on earth would not write his own psukim. He won't write his own edicts. He has to have a whole office affair. So Melech Malchei Melech Malchusdar Kirkei Malchusdar. Of course, he's got his own malachim who do things for him. So Hakadosh Baruch has a malach is called Safriel, which is Sefer and Kale, and that's why we change in Nusach Ashkenaz. We change in the end of the Shemoneh Esrei from Hamavoriah Kesamos Rav Hashalom to Oseh Hashalom. The Sfardim don't change. They say, how can you change a Shchasim of a Bracha? Every word is carefully counted. Every word is absolute. So we change. And the Kash is, how can we change? So they say, because of a Gematria. But a Gematria wouldn't have allowed you just to change a whole Bracha. But the answer is, there was an old Chasimo, which went, and you can see it in the Bracha Me'in Sheva on Friday night. We don't say Hamavorek, we say the Adon Hashalom, remember? On Friday night in the Magen Avos. Where does Adon Hashalom come from? All these words are taken from the Shemoneh Esrei, Magen Avos, etc. So Adon Hashalom must have been an old Chasima, and in fact they found an old Chasima somewhere which says Adon Hashalom Ose Hashalom. And therefore, during the Aser Shemay Teshuva, since there was an Ose HaShalom, and we've got the Gematria, we're therefore allowed to change to Ose HaShalom, and that's our minhag here in England for the Ashkenazim. However, the Hasidim, and the Sephardim, and the minhag Eretz Yisrael, following the Gaon, is not to change from Amvorek Samos Shabbos. But we do see Ose HaShalom. And as we're talking about this, anyhow, I may as well mention another thing. When I was I gave the shiur about, 40 years ago, I mentioned this for the first time. And among the audience at the time was Bernie Faber, bless him, an accountant. And he was just, he had an accountant's mind, and he suddenly said, do you know something, he said, I've just counted up Zochreinu L'Chaim, it's also 381. And I nearly fell off my chair, I couldn't believe it. I checked carefully about 20 times, Zochreinu L'Chaim is also 381. Isn't that unbelievable? That the beginning of the extra psukim that we say in the Shemoneh Esra, and by the way, those of you who learned Daf Yomi will know there's a machlokus in the Tosfos as to whether if you missed out Zochreinu L'Chaim, you're chayav to say the whole Shemoneh Esra over again. Tosfos says you are in one place, and he quotes it in Shem Barach that you're not. The Maisa L'Halacha, we don't say it over again, but it's not a simple thing. You should daven from the Siddur and say it carefully. You see how important it is. But what we don't understand is what's lying behind these psukim. Psukim in the Chumash, psukim in the Shemoneh Esra. The Zochreinu L'Chaim, the Torah already tells us, there are 11 words in Zochreinu L'Chaim, Keneged, the Mispar HaTeshuvah, which is 11, like the Ketores, which is 11 words. There are 48 letters in Nusach Sfard, in Zochreinu L'Chaim. And the Gaon, and the Chayodim even says, you should say like the Gaon, different from what we say. We say Zochreinu L'Chaim, Melech Chofetz B'Chaim, V'chosveinu B'Seifa HaChaim, that's what we say. But the Gaon and the Chayodim Paskins, you should say like the Chassidim, Zochreinu L'Chaim, Melech Chofetz B'Chaim, Kosveinu B'Seifa Chaim, even though it's not terribly grammatical, because you have to have 48 letters. What's the significance of 48 letters? Because 48 Milah Shatur Niknis B'Hem. That's why you've got 48 letters. Comes along Noruch HaShukhan says, hang on a second, but we Ashkenazim don't do that. We've got a Masor, you can't change your Nusra just because somebody comes up with a Gematria. Yeah, you can't change. We've got to understand what we've got. And Noruch HaShukhan says, Kenich Zainazah. It can't be that we don't understand our own Nusach. And he works on it, he comes out and he says, do you know what? The 50 represents Chamishim Share Bino. And unless you've got a bit of seichel, you can't even start with your tshuva process. Therefore, Zochreinu L'Chaim has to have 50 letters, and the V'chosvein and the Hachaim gives us the extra thing. And that's why Shemoneh Esra always starts at a choinem, the Adam Das. Because first of all, you have to have seichel. After seichel, then you can go to tshuva and all the rest of the things. And I love telling the story from Rabbi Leib Lopkin. I'll tell it over once more. I'm sure you've heard it from me again. He says, when I was in the yeshiva, he called me over and says, Joseph, he says, how many Chalkei Shulchan Aruch are there? I said, of course there are four. You've got it wrong. I said, what do you mean four? There's Aruch Chaim, there's Yoredeah, there's Choshen Mishpat, never knows, that's four. No, you've got it wrong. Oh, I saw the twinkle in his eye, and he said, oh, you mean the fifth Chelik, do you, Rebbe? No, you still got it wrong. And I give up. It's not the fifth Chelik, it's the first Chelik. Once you've got the first Chelik, then you can have four more Chalokim. First Chelik is Seichel. After that, you can have four more Chalokim. And the adjunct to this particular story is the story of Rabbi Chaim Ozer Grzensky. Once somebody came knocking on the door, and it was in the middle of the yeshiva, Rebbe, Megich Nema Nagarushich Bin Akayin. So Rabbi Chaim looks up and says, yeah, it's fine, it'll be okay, don't worry, it's all right. And can you imagine, the whole shiur was platzing. Can you get over the Rebbe Matik Yevesna, Isidjaraisa of a coin to a Gerusha, we can assign. And they couldn't get on with the shiur. So Chaim looked and said, boys, he said to them, whatever he said in his language, men says, ich hab Matik Yevesna, a Gerusha to a coin. What's the nature? You think I'm mad? What's the matter with you lot? Do you really think that guy has come in the middle of the shiur and disturbed the whole shiur to find out whether he can marry a Gerusha? Couldn't he wait till after the shiur for that? In any case, he's married with four lovely kids, and he's going to take a Gerusha. He's going to, what's he going to do with his own wife? He'd never heard of the Chaim of Rabbeinu Gershon. And in any case, you don't do this in public and let the whole shiur know that a Kohen is going to do an Aveira of this sort. And what mishugas is that? I'll tell you what happened. It's obvious. You have what happened is Pasha's Emor this week, and in this week this gentleman has been to a shiur who heard somebody reading the Torah, and it says that a kohen may not take a gerusha. Do you know what that guy's job is? That guy's a taxi driver. He's come to ask me whether he can take a fare in the back of the car as a gerusha. Can I take a gerush in the back of my car? That's what his shaila was. Of course it's all right. And I told him to go off and do it. You think I'll allow a gerush to a car? You've got to have a bit of seichel. If you don't know what the question is in the first place, you don't even start. You're going to rush it and do teshuva. You can't just rush it and do teshuva. Have you learned the halachas? Do you know what teshuva represents? You've got to do. You've got to, first of all, charat ala ova, kabbalah ala osid. You've got to have a vidui. But before that, you've got to learn. And that's actually why it says, hashiveinu avin l'sur esechel, v'karveinu makin l'avir esechel, v'hachizrein b'shur tshem l'funecha. The second brach is the brichas at teshuva. Oh dear, I've run over on time. But no, it's all relevant. Sami Noe asked me several a year or so ago, why is it we say hashiveinu, and then we say hachazireinu? What's going on? Hachazireinu doesn't fit. We already say hashiveinu. What's the difference between the two? And the second question is, did you know that hachazireinu does not occur in Tanakh? The word chazar is not a Tanakh word. Chazor is the Gemara Lashon. So why are we starting off Hashiveinu with Torah and finishing with Achzireinu in Gemara Lashon? And there's another question. The question is, as we're talking about chapter and verse, etc., the Shaila is that in Brachas, which they were Masakin, they were always Masakin al pi the Torah Lashon. We just learned in Daf Yomi yesterday, Ketzad Mevorchin al Apeiros. Al peiros ha'ilon mevorchim bo'de pi'oitz. Hang on a second, you just called it the peiros ilon, and now we're making bo'de pi'oitz. Why? And why do we say bo'de pi'oitz domo al peiros ha'oretz? And why do we say motzi lechem min ha'oretz instead of bo'de pi'oitz domo? Answer, it all follows the lashon of the Torah. And ilon is not a Hebrew word. Ilon is an Aramaic word which occurs in Sefer Daniel, but it does not occur in Tanakh. So when we're making a bracha, we're trying to make a bracha al pi the lashon of the Torah. Right. If so, where do we get the Hachazireinu from? Why do we have the Hachazireinu? And I thought about it. It's a very difficult question, but one question answers the other question. It goes like this. In brachas, you do find brachas from Drabonon. For example, we don't make Al Natilis Kapas Tamorim, we make Al Natilis Lulav. The Chasam Sof asked the Kasha, why do we make the Bracha Al Chejmar Al Lishma Kol Shofar? Shofar does occur five times in Chumash, but nowhere is it mentioned directly in connection with the Tekias. It's only mentioned with Xer Shofar from Yovel. That's how we know it's a shofar. The Posuk says, Trua, Yom Trua. So we should have said, Lishma Kol Trua. Or Lishma Atrua. Why do we say Lishma Kol Shofar? And for the Chasam Sofer, because where Chazal are Koivea, it's sometimes necessary you should know. We say our brachas and our mitzvahs are done how Chazal are masakin them. So for example, in Mezuzah, Likvoya, Al Kviyas Mezuzah, Shtei Nikviyah in the Torah, we should have said Al Al-Ksivas Mezuzah. We don't say Al-Ksivas, Al-Kviyas Mezuzah. Why? Because Chazal were Koveya. Similarly with the Shofar, Chazal were Koveya the Shofar because of the Gzeira Shofar. Therefore, Ishmael. And similarly with the Lulav, Chazal told us exactly what it all is. It occurred to me as following. When it comes to learning Torah, Hashiveinu, Avinu, L'Sei, Rosecha, to do Teshuvah without learning Torah, you're wasting your time. You've got to, first of all, have the Torah dictates the word. First of all, Seichel, Chanan Das. After Seichel, learn Torah first, and then you know what to do. Once you've learned what to do, we can then turn to Tshuva, but we don't say Hashiveinu to Tshuva, we say Hachizireinu. Do you know why? Because Chazala Koivea, what the Tshuva's got to be. The mitzvah Tshuva has been mikvah al Yedei Chazal, just like the Lulav and just like the Shofar. So we change from the Torah Lashon of Hashiveinu, which is learning Torah, and then we go to Hachazirinu, which is Lashon Chazal, which is therefore necessary to teach us how to do Tshuva. Well, I've run out of time, so we'll have to ask for extension.